Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. It's my house
on Kaya Biz. Indeed, it's my house, and this is where we talk all things to do with property. As mentioned, on the back of our financial behavior, it's keen to get a different or clearer perspective around our property purchases in South Africa. One of the key themes that we've often highlighted when it comes to some data is the fact that South Africans are taking a lot longer to purchase property. More females have been dominating the market. But here's an interesting stat that we have from Lightstone. We also prefer to buy property alone or buying houses on their own rather than in a partnership or with others through a company or a trust. What does this tell us about our behavior? Well, Hayley Ivens-Downs, Managing Executive for Real Estate at Lightstone, joins us now. Hayley, such a pleasure to speak to you again. It feels like forever.
Thanks so much, Gugu, and really wonderful to be here again.
Oh, exciting to speak to you because it always helps give us a better perspective of what's happening within the property space. Now, we know it's been very tough times, especially with interest rates at significant highs before the first cut we witnessed in September. And looking at this latest report, not only would we look at buying trends, but more so who's buying and how we're buying. Help us understand, firstly, why this information is important.
So I think we really want to understand what's happening in the market. And I think you've mentioned exactly the economic factors that we're seeing, the interest rates that are high. We've seen some areas that have been really struggling with kind of understanding where properties, what properties are being bought. And for us, we're wanting to understand what is actually happening. So we obviously do a lot of research in terms of, you know, these are the areas and these are the profile of people that are buying the property and these are the movements that we're seeing. And it also gives us a better understanding in terms of what the man on the street is doing. You know, who's actually buying these properties? Who can afford these properties? What is the profile of the people? You know, and understanding kind of where we are with interest rates, it is always interesting just to kind of start digging a bit deeper in the data.
Definitely. And it really does help us understand where the mindset of property buyers might be. What's interesting here is that you highlight that South Africans prefer to buy houses on their own rather than in a partnership or through a company or trust. So let's contextualize this. Gugu wants to do it on her own and have it in her name. What are we seeing here?
Yes, we're actually, I mean, this is really interesting in the sense that we're seeing kind of an uptick on single owner properties where people are basically able to afford a property on their own. This is basically speaking to affordability in one aspect, as well as properties being available in a price range that can be bought. So, and also speaking to lifestyle, you know, there's a lot of people that kind of live on their own, not together, not married, possibly wanting to invest in their own property, buy it themselves, have that asset sitting with themselves. So we are seeing, as the data is showing, an uptick in single owners, which in itself is really interesting because it's certainly not a time that we would have seen it. You know, with the interest rates being high, you almost think that, you know, being dual income earners, that it's easier to buy with multiple, you know, owners on a property. But, you know, this in itself speaks to affordability and it speaks to properties being available in a price range that can be bought.
Yeah. And what's intriguing is, as you say, difference in ownership type, especially when it comes to price bands. You've got a beautiful graph in your release here, which actually shows that the township market, together with the affordable market, that's where we see almost what? Upwards of 60% of single home property owners. Let's talk about affordability and the specifics around the price range. I'm assuming what would this be above 500,000 rand, but below a million, 1.5?
Yes, it's generally kind of, if we're looking at kind of where we're seeing the majority of single owners, we're seeing it in your townships, your affordable, your mid, even your high income, which is your higher value property, which is above 50%. And that is going up to your 1.5 million. So it ranges from 250,000 to 1.5 million. This is where we're seeing the higher percentage of your single owner that's actually purchasing property. Yeah. And that obviously changes as soon as we start going into the higher luxury and super luxury, which extends into above the 3 million in those ranges between 1.5 and 3 million. But it's definitely within those buckets and segments that we're seeing the single owner being the highest percentage, and specifically in affordable, actually, it's nearly 70%.
Sure. This is so interesting because you're quite right. It does reflect, I guess, you know, what we see in society. Perhaps fewer married individuals, more people choosing to live single or on their own for an extended period of time. Let's talk about the upper or high luxury and super luxury dynamic, because that's where the figures do change and shift significantly. And perhaps before we even talk about the change in the ownership, we also need to understand the various types of ownership that exist in South Africa.
Yes, so we what we do when we do analysis, we understand whether it's a person or kind of what we say is non-natural, which is basically either a trust, a business. It's basically a difference. It's a legal vehicle that you've purchased the property in, but it's not in an individual name. So we are kind of seeing in your luxury and your super luxury, you're seeing quite a bigger chunk within two people or two owners that are individuals that own a property. And then obviously a higher degree within your trusts and your companies or organizations that own property. And in your super luxury, which is over 3 million, it's almost nearly 30% that's actually sitting in that bucket. And for various reasons, people, companies purchase properties for company reasons, for tax reasons. Trusts, obviously, with a trust, you have ways to increase your assets, your wealth, that you could leave to an individual or family. And then, obviously, as a company, you could be using it from a company perspective. Or even as a property for executives to be living in. So there's various reasons, but it is interesting to notice within the super luxury.
This might be an unfair question, but I'm interested to understand, are we seeing that there's growth in both markets, those who might be first-time home buyers and just literally need a roof over their head and are doing so to build wealth for themselves as individuals and their families that they provide for, versus those who are expanding their property portfolios and actually actively looking to invest in property?
Absolutely. I think there's a dovetail happening here that you're seeing. We recently published an article just around investment and how we saw the growth of investors up until kind of just before 2023. And we've now subsequently seen that start dropping, and that's due to the interest rates. But that could also speak to what we're currently seeing in terms of the increase of single owners buying properties. There could ultimately be a plan to invest. So, do I buy my first property on my own and then pay off a certain amount and then rent it, and purchase another? And so kind of just grow your own wealth in that aspect. And then obviously on the super luxury side, where you've got more than one individual owning a property, you've got two owning and possibly more, three or four, that's definitely a view in terms of where you start getting more investment happening, where you're having investors purchasing the properties in this higher end kind of property, the luxury and the super luxury, which is basically 1.5 million and up.
Got you. 1.5 million up. On that, as you say, your data does also speak to more than three owners or more. Does this also include the likes of Stokvel clubs or property Stokvels or property
Yes,
investment clubs?
absolutely. You could certainly have that coming in really as an organization, or they could have it set up in a legal vehicle. But you could absolutely see that. And you're seeing the element of that specifically in your all the way through is the little aspect of percentage. So within the township, it's nearly 10%. Within affordable, it's nearly 10%. So you could absolutely have that as Stokvel as well, where there's some level of investment happening with that money.
So interesting. If you've just joined us, it's just after 7:15. We're in conversation with Hayley Ivens-Downs, who is Managing Executive for Real Estate at Lightstone, as we're taking a look at the types of property ownership, but also who dominates the market. And from what the data reveals so far, it does seem as though we as South Africans prefer to buy property as natural personal perpetuation. So that's you buying a property as an individual. But there has been some growth that we see as well in terms of investments and trusts. And as Hayley Elise just mentioned when it comes to stockpiles. Hayley, I know that this data obviously gives us an understanding of what's happening now, but we can't ignore that we're moving into a new year. We've seen some shifts in terms of interest rates, which is a key enabler for people to afford property. What are the expectations like, especially moving into 2025 when it comes to property purchases?
Well, I think we're quite excited with the interest rates that are coming down. It's positive. It gives a boost for anybody wanting to really purchase a property. It makes it more affordable. And I think with that in mind, I think we're anticipating a pickup in terms of churn, in terms of transactions happening, and, you know, understanding where further interest rates will be coming in, hopefully kind of bringing in another 1% down somewhere through the year. Ultimately, I think that would help buoy some of the property churn and interest. And I think just looking at the trends that we've seen, mm-hmm. I think it will continue. I think, you know, what it's going to do is facilitate more buying of property, which, you know, as a single income earner, you could probably then do more on your own. So we're anticipating more of that. So kind of, you know, when property markets kind of increase with activity, we generally see the trends increasing. And what that could also do is also increase investors. Mm. So, you know, likewise, so anything that kind of is positive towards the property market, we're seeing an increase and an uptick.
Got you. Any insights on the demographics? I know typically we've spoken about mid-30s, largely females dominating
yes,
the market. So is that still the case?
Always interesting. Always interesting. So, you know, what we found is that the age of first property purchase is now around 36, which is a lot higher than you would actually think. But that is kind of the average age of a first-time home buyer. Mm. So yeah, 36 female buyers, still majority, still over your 50% are female.
Wow.
Which is also interesting. So yeah, it's that trend is continuing. So that is certainly not decreased or leveled. It's actually increasing.
Got you. And in terms of affordability, specifically, I guess the approvals, are these still 100% home loan approvals?
Yes, they are. And I think with interest rates coming down, I think that market will pick up again a lot more than it had, than we've seen in the last year and a half, which I think will be really great. I think the banks have certainly come to the party. And I think, you know, what will, you know, you get 107% bond generally. So, yeah, I think it's definitely something that's going to be happening.
God. Oh, Hayley, now you've got my brain cells tickled, because I've also noticed that the banks, see, I'm getting all excited now. The banks have also extended a lot of the repayment periods, right? Now it's very common
yes.
to get a 30-year bond, yes. actually.
Yes, yes. 30-year bond. They've even assessed kind of, they've dropped some of the criteria around age. So, you know, I think they are reassessing kind of who they're lending to, which is really great because I think it's, once again, it makes it more affordable.
Mm.
You know, that you know, in the beginning, it's always a bit tough, but you always kind of, you know, start managing to pay the repayments. So a 30-year almost gives you a bit of a breather. I mean, the aim is always to kind of pay off a property before the 30 years.
Yeah.
But it is great that there is that opportunity for first-time home buyers.
Gotcha.
Anybody buying property.
Yeah. Such a pleasure speaking to you as always, Hayley. This makes for a great conversation to have around the Braai in December, right? And everyone will sound smart because we're teaching them more. So thank you.
Thank you, Gugu. It was lovely.
Always lovely speaking to you. That's Hayley Ivins-Downs, who's the managing executive for real estate at Lightstone. And this kind of data makes things so exciting because as we've been building up throughout the course of today's show, we understand, yes, the economy might have shrunk, but we as consumers have some reprieve. We're able to dip into two-pot. We're able to have lower interest rates when it comes to paying off our credit. And the data that Hayley's just shared with us gives us so much more perspective regarding home ownership. And average age around 36 for first-time property home buyers. Females still dominating the pack in terms of property purchases. More than 50% of women still leading the pack there. And it's always interesting when I speak to my colleague Mudibedi, he was smiling at me as I was talking about these numbers. It does really speak to society and the social construct, right? Where perhaps fewer people are getting married, or we see a heightened number of divorces taking place and individuals choosing to live alone or set up a family structure for themselves. I know typically most women opt to do that when it comes to having children or loved ones that they'd like to look after. Men too, but we know you love your fast cars. But you can contend and share your perspective on that one. But really interesting to see that also when it comes to joint ownership of property that's been growing in the township market, where a lot of people are actually forming property stock files. It's something that did grow in prominence over the last few years. So interesting to see that it is coming through in the numbers. But don't let me do the show alone. I've been missing you and your voices. So do share your voice notes on 063-688-0959. Happy to hear your thoughts on the themes that we've been covering. Whether it's property, are you someone who's in the market, first-time property buyer, or are you more on the investment arm? Are you part of a property stock file? How's it been working out for you? And coupled with all these themes, how do you find South Africa's economy? Is the pressure easing on your pocket, or, man, gunzim? Are we still sokoling, sonke? Because times are really tough. So be open, share your perspective. Happy for you to stay anonymous if you wish. And do stay with us, because on the other side of 20 minutes after 7 o'clock, we will be speaking to Dr. Frank Makwekwe. He'll help paint a better picture of the reality that we're facing as South African consumers, as per the latest Netfin Health Monitor, a financial analysis of our health as South Africans. But join us in the conversation. You're listening to Kaya Biz. Here on Kai 959 with myself, Gugulethu Mfuphi.
And if you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.